Man from the north, of course, the man that knows no needs no introduction. I am talking about Shane Jones. Kia ora, Shane.
Kia ora, greetings, Ngāti Wātea.
No, greetings to you too, my friend. Now, look, I'm going to just go jump straight into it. What do you think? What are your thoughts? We heard today, obviously, the Prime Minister giving us more information on the border reopening in Tāmaki. I mean, you can now go and get a haircut on Thursday, but you could have got Botox last week, which just does my head in. But for you living in the mighty Taitokoro, what's your take on the borders opening up to the north in mid-December?
Well, Auckland's been in lockdown, and sadly the rules have become more chaotic and incoherent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly because the bureaucrats themselves have acted in an arbitrary fashion, and in my view, the ministers have not reined them in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's understandable because Ashley Bloomfield, who has been turned into something of an icon, and if we were living in medieval Catholic times, he'd probably be a sitter now for a saint.
Mm-hmm.
He has proven to be very difficult to control. And you only need to look at the imbroglio over the High Court decisions. But anyway, put that to a side.
Mm-hmm.
On the question up in Taitokoro, I genuinely think the following, Imara. I think that the average person in Taitokoro, they're actually moving on from the current dynamic and narrative about the COVID.
Mm.
Rightly or wrongly, they're thinking about summer, they're thinking about reuniting with their relations, they're thinking about Christmas, and at the back of their mind, they probably know that COVID is spreading, but then what was the point of us all getting vaccinated if it wasn't to enable us to deal with the spread?
Yeah.
Today, I spoke to some of our Māori businesses, not for any haki nohi, putting my nose into their business, but just to ascertain whether or not there's anything I could do by paying a courtesy visit on the strength of my own mana and experience. And they said, yes, there is a rump that will not be getting vaccinated, but that same rump, who I know many of, they want to open up. They're prepared to take their chances.
Mm. So it's the time, just let it go, you know, let it enter. And see what happens.
Well, if not this December, then when?
Yeah, yeah.
I know my whanaunga Hone Harawira from our Opauri tribe in Ngāpohi Nui Tonu, he wanted to move Christmas till January the 25th.
Mm.
And Tony, Hone's always had a knack for coming up with ideas that excite or polarise people. But if we're not going to open it, see, the difficulty is this.
Mm.
I may sound harsh, but at what point is it no longer worth saving lives if you're destroying livelihoods?
Well, that's right, because, I mean, the central...
Exactly, that's where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, the central premise to the argument is that, look, the mental health of small business owners in particular, and I'm about to have a conversation with Siri and Taylor about this, yeah, the mental health of small business owners is incredibly fragile at the moment, particularly those here in the tourism and hospitality industry, which is a significant chunk of the northern economy.
No, absolutely. We've got grown men and women in a state of constant despair.
Mm.
Now, the way I see this thing rolling out is that more focus will go now towards the booster shot.
Mm.
More focus will go on getting the passport. And there are a host of 0800 Māori staff members working in that area. JT's got a team. Ngāpohi have got a team. There's the health entity owned by Pegasus called Whakarongoro.
Mm.
They've got a team. But what those teams are finding, Emara, is that people are now moving on. Okay, what about the booster? What about the passport vaccine? What about the viability of our businesses, of our employers, of our firms? And I think that once we open up, those that have been unwilling to get tested or unwilling to be vaxxed, whilst some of them may get ill, the focus will no longer be on them.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I mean, if I could just shift tack for a moment, I mean, the groundswell movement, for example. I was talking to Dover Samuels earlier this evening. We're going to be playing his interview later on tonight. But, I mean, this groundswell movement, we've got the farmers, not all farmers. We've got the religious televangelist folk, they're involved. We've got the placard-waving Donald Trumpers. We've got the anti-vaxxers. We've got this whole group that have come together. I mean, apparently the Mother of All protest was going to happen over the weekend, and you might have got a couple of hundred people where the kids on the climate change action stuff managed to turn out in their thousands. Is it just a fly-by-night sort of alliance, or are we seeing something bigger?
Well, I recall the massive marches that the police themselves, one of the most extraordinary things I recall seeing was all of the police marching and doing a silent protest in front of Parliament. Mm. And that was in the day of Helen Clark. Mm. Then I remember Bishop Tāmaki turning up where they had men in black. And then I recall the Seabed and Foreshore March and a variety of others. All of these things only served to erode the levels of support for the government of the day. Mm. They never, ever boost the power for the government of the day. Mm. Now, there are some legitimate concerns that the farmers do have.
Yeah.
However, what you've just pointed out is there's probably a generational inflection point. Mm. There's a whole host of young ones, and it's not only climate change. They're concerned about the transmission of wealth. They're concerned about the affordability of housing. They're concerned about the quality of the environment. And that's, in my view, positive. That's what the next generation should be doing, standing up and identifying the issues that they're wishing, and they're willing to be passionate about and put effort into. But I personally, if I was a government strategist, I would not be deriding or dismissing this groundswell movement, largely because although the Greens and although Labor are holding steady at the moment, things will tighten up after Judith is gone. And when we get closer to the next election, it'll be down to the last 5 or 6%.
Yeah. In that last 5 to 6%, I can't help myself. I mean, I'm a big fan of yours, Mr. Jones. Are we going to see you come back? Are we going to see you back in the big house down in Wellington?
Oh, no, not on TV3 when they asked me that question. I said, look, if the opportunity arises to Tautoko Winston, because he's the ultimate comeback kid, I'll do it in a heartbeat. I've got the support of my wife, probably not all of my kids, but the majority of my kids. My mum, who is a school teacher, but I suppose you'd call her a rural conservative, but very proud of her taha Māori and very proud of her association with the Anglican Church and all sorts of other rural conservative takes. So no. Subject to the spirit of providence, I look forward to being back, bro.
No, absolutely. Hey, thanks so much for joining me this evening. Really appreciate it. And whānau, that is, of course,
You're
Shane
welcome,
Jones.
Pa.
And I would say, Shane, you are the best infrastructure minister we have had. And I'm at it. No, bugger it. It's my radio show. I can do whatever I want, right? You know, people would do well to remember the immense amount of investment that flowed into infrastructure, forestry and regional economic development under your watch. Now, some of the many programs and projects around the country that have added to economic stimulus, in particular during this pandemic, would never have happened had you not been out there battling for the people, eh?